All right, guys, welcome back to the Fantasy Crossover Podcast. I am your host, Danny Duarte, joined by my co-host, Brian Acevedo. To a lot of guys, the fantasy season is over. We understand that. Congratulations if you won your league. Better luck next year if you didn't. I know Brian and I, unfortunately, came a little bit short in a couple leagues. But guys, there are still some people that are competing this, for the fantasy playoffs. They're in their championship round this week. So, you know, we're wishing them the best. We're going to give them some advice throughout this episode. But to the majority of people out there that already have their fantasy playoffs done and their fantasy season's completely wrapped up at this point, we want to just tie in some fantasy relevant discussion, you know, as we reflect on this NBA season, just some of the shockers that we had. Whether it was guys that we underprojected or overprojected, Brian and I looked at our top 150 rankings for leading up into the season and then compared it to the actual rankings of players at the end of the season. And just there were a lot of names that stood out to us. We could go on and on for days talking about each of them, but Brian and I are going to each give six players that we think moving on to next year are just going to be drafted much, much differently than where we projected them being drafted this year / where they were drafted this year, to be quite frank. So we're going to touch on that. Then Brian's going to give you guys a sneak peek to the schedule preview for this weekend in case you are in the fantasy playoffs still, if you're in your championship round. And then we're going to wrap up with top transaction adds and top transaction drops. So to kick it off, guys, I am going to give you guys my top fantasy shockers for the 2022 NBA season. First off, I have to call him out, Julius Randle, Brian's favorite player. He had a huge fall off. Brian and I projected him to be a top 30 player coming into the fantasy season. And guys, his days are just numbered in New York, if you ask me and if you ask Brian. The Knicks clearly do not function well with Randle. And Randle's, guys, he's lost his efficiency. He's turnover prone. His scoring's down. Just all in all, signs point that last year was more of a fluke than anything else. I mean, for God's sakes, we were comparing him to Chris Bosh and asking if he was going to have a better year. But guys, if I were you guys, don't expect Randle to be anywhere near the second round coming into next season. I would project him closer to a fifth or sixth round pick, and that's all dependent on what the Knicks do this offseason. Next player I have called out is Rashawn Holmes. Brian and I had him ranked in the top 40. Coming into this NBA season, again, we saw great potential, solid field goal efficiency, solid points, solid rebounds. He, with Sabonis there now, his role's completely gone, basically. And also, before Sabonis got there, he was just a shell of what he was last year after he got paid. I would be shocked if he cracks the top 100 coming into the next year. Now, I'm going to give you guys some of my overachievers. The first name, Brian loves to like just harp on this, is because, you know, I was wrong. I'll admit I was wrong. It's LaMelo Ball. Ball is clearly a top player moving forward. Brian and I had him ranked just outside the top 50 coming into the season. And guys, given the fact that he does everything and he's also pretty good defensively, I would not be shocked if LaMelo Ball goes in the first round in your upcoming NBA draft, a fantasy draft. Next player I want to call out is DeJounte Murray. Another great player, that same argument as Ball, really took us by surprise. We also ranked him right outside the top 50 with Pop's system and just him being the focal point in San Antonio. Another clear-cut first round, borderline second round pick in your upcoming NBA fantasy draft for the next year. Next player I want to call out is Anthony Edwards. We were way off with him. We had him ranked in the 80s to 90s in coming into the season. Guys, his field goal efficiency came up. He's great on the defensive end, and he does a little bit of everything else. Do not be surprised if Ant-Man goes anywhere from the top 30 to the top 40. And then the last player I want to call out is a guy we didn't even have ranked in our top 150. It's Desmond Bain. He's on a lot of people's radars moving forward. He's a great shooter. He gets you threes, he gets you points, he gets you steals, he gets you a couple of those contributing stats. Do not be surprised if people start drafting Desmond Bane in the end of the fourth round and going into the fifth round. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, lots to get into there. I mean, with Randall, guys, we touched on him a lot. Efficiency and turnovers have really killed him this year because he still put up damn near double doubles. But I mean, man, towards the end of the year, guys, for those of you that managed him, you saw his numbers really started to tank. Rashawn Holmes is on my do not draft list going into next year. To me, too much going on with him for me to really take him too seriously or draft with any real type of confidence. And then, Dan, I think you made some great points with some of your overachievers. I mean, LaMelo, I told you guys he has that superstar potential. I'm really excited to see his future and, you know, next year for sure. A lot of these guys that you actually touched on, Dan, are going to be really valuable in keeper leagues specifically too. DeJounte Murray, obviously, I was really happy to draft him in a couple of leagues, but I know I'm going to have to spend a little bit more, to say the least, to get him next year. Hopefully we can find that next DeJounte Murray out there. And then obviously Ant Edwards, Ant-Man, he proved me wrong. I was kind of not so high on him coming into this year, but he's had a monster year over there in Minnesota. They look really good this year. And Desmond Bain, I mean, he was not on our radar, honestly, guys. And obviously he had a monster year for Memphis. He looks really good. So lots of great call outs there, Dan. For myself, I'll go into my overachievers first. I'm in a good mood. I'll start with DeMar DeRozan of the Chicago Bulls. Guys, we ranked DeRozan number 46 coming into this year. He's going to finish in the top 30. He definitely gave you an MVP type start of the season, but he definitely cooled off at a pretty rough time for fantasy managers. You still likely got some pretty awesome value for him compared to where you picked him, all in all, though. And I would say for DeRozan, a little note for next year, you need to really monitor Lonzo Ball situation with his injury, because that's going to play a role in his ultimate value. I have him probably as a third or fourth round pick next year regardless. My next overachiever is Robert Williams. Obviously for the Celtics, he went off. We had him ranked 62 coming into the year, and he finished top 20 player. Even despite the injury concerns, I think he's going to be someone next year that could be a borderline second round player just because of what he gives you defensively and efficiency wise, as well as some pretty strong rebounding. And then last but not least, a name that has been on many people's minds lately, LeBron James. I mean, how is he not one of the top overachievers? He finished number 4 this season when you break it down into averages. Obviously, a lot of you guys know I'm tough on Bron, but from a fantasy perspective, even though it doesn't look like he's going to hit 60 games played this year, he is still 37 and was competing for the scoring title. I mean, guys, 30 points per game is not easy to get from any player. Danny and I kind of had this as a year that Bron would hit the wall. We had him ranked number 27, but even with those nagging injuries this year, he was able to really go off in the games that he did play. And even though he started sitting a lot down the stretch, he gave you incredible value. All in all, going into next year, there is just a lot of questions, though, with this Lakers team. So you do just kind of have to monitor it. I'd say it's safe to say, though, he's going to be a top 15 to 20 player at least, though. And then lastly, my underachievers, RJ Barrett, one of the best sub 200 players that you'll find out there. His year was a step in the right direction. All in all, he finally crossed 20 points per game. But that inefficiency, Dan, has been piss poor, much like his teammate. I had him number 93 on my personal rankings this year, so I was really wrong, and our rankings had him at 108 coming into the year, so I obviously sincerely apologize for that, guys. I will say, though, that he did have a really decent end of the season, and he is definitely valuable for those of you in points leagues for sure. I think his stock will be low next year, but just remember that he did average 26-3 all in all. If he could see a little bit of tick up in that efficiency, give you some more defense, he's someone that could be really nice next year and a sleeper low key. And sorry to give you that Knicks spin, you know, I had to give it a little positivity there. My last two guys, Dame Lillard. I mean, look, I know he missed a lot of time, but he was still ranked number 46 when you looked at when he did play. We had him projected as our 5th ranked player coming into this year. He was a huge disappointment. Dan obviously knows well, he spent a first round pick on him as well. Just pretty brutal. I know he's not going to have CJ McCollum there next year, but I still say we temper expectations a little bit on Dame time. My take is that he's probably going to be closer to a second round player to me. And then lastly, Russell Westbrook, former MVP, a guy we had ranked top 40 coming into the year. He finished outside the top 200 for the Lakers. So while LeBron overperformed, his teammate Westbrook did not. He actually saw a lot of his points, boards, and assists go down. So not a great year for Westbrook in his hometown of Los Angeles.
Great call outs, Brian. I think that a couple guys that I definitely want to focus on. Firstly, DeMar DeRozan. I think that if Lonzo Ball does come back, it actually helps DeRozan out because Lonzo's a great facilitator and he kind of takes some of the attention away. I think most NBA players are more scared of Ball than they would be a Kobe White or Ayo Dosunmu. But I like where you have his ranking. I definitely see him being in that range going into next year and possibly surprising us once again. Another player I want to focus on is RJ Barrett. I know we were both a little bit higher on him than we should have been, but I like his opportunity going into next year. We're going to see what the Knicks do with Julius Randle in the offseason. I think we're both agreeing that Obi Toppin and RJ Barrett are the future, so they should try to see what they can get for Julius Randle. But RJ is clearly the number one guy. He is meant to be the star in New York. So guys, do not be afraid to take a flyer with RJ Barrett moving forward. I think that he's definitely going to have some opportunities moving forward. And then the last guy I want to touch on is Dame. Her breaks my heart. I had him as my MVP candidate, MVP favorite heading into the season before, you know, the injury bugged him. I actually am a little bit lower on him than you are at the current moment, just given how awful Portland looks and how they clearly don't seem to have a game plan around him. I would venture to say that Dame is a borderline third round player if he has no team around him.
I mean, you could get that if you could get Dame in the third round. I mean, can you argue that it's kind of like worth the risk at that point? I mean, look, we're going to have to see how the injury comes and all that. That's really going to be the ultimate factor to me, because I do think that once Dame does come back, he is going to be number one in usage by far on that team. So I think I'm still excited about his prospects for next year, but definitely a big disappointment. And then for RJ, I do think the Knicks are going to need another star to sort of pair with RJ Barrett. I think they were hoping Randle could be that guy. It doesn't look to be the case, but nice to hear some positive vibes from Danny about the Knicks and his fellow Canadian RJ Barrett. You definitely love to see it all in all, even while, you know, we highlight his underachievement this year. And with that said, guys, that actually gives us a great transition spot into our weekend schedule preview. So obviously we are going to touch a little bit on, you know, when it comes to this fantasy weekend, you have four games on Saturday. There's going to be 15 games on Sunday. Every team in the association is playing this weekend. So the four games on Saturday are Spurs versus Warriors, Pacers versus Sixers, Clippers versus Kings, Grizzlies versus Pelicans. And looking at all those teams, Dan, all eight of those teams are going to have guys to target with the back-to-back this weekend. Although you do always have to question if a veteran is going to play on that back-to-back to end the season. It is kind of a game time decision. Personally, though, I would definitely focus on adding a younger player who's probably going to be more likely to play that back-to-back for one of those teams. You also have the option of adding a player that plays Friday, Sunday. It kind of is whichever you prefer all in all. Dan, what are you thinking as far as this weekend schedule and some of these teams?
With regards to like the teams that are playing, I mean, it's a mixed bag. I'm not in love with most of these teams' waiver pickups for the time being. Maybe the Kings or the Pacers are the two teams that I really focus on when it comes to waiver wire pickups. And then with regards to just the teams that only have one game, guys, if you have a borderline rosterable player from the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Magic, drop them. It's not worth it, honestly. They're not going to make or break your season at this point, honestly.
Yeah, that's actually a great call out there. And on the flip side, guys, a couple of teams to keep an eye on with only one game this weekend. You have the Boston Celtics, you have the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and the Orlando Magic. So to me, Dan, borderline guys kind of like Mo Wagner for the Magic, Patrick Beverley, who's kind of missed some time here of the Timberwolves. We all know he's a veteran. Jeff Green from the Nuggets and even Grant Williams of the Celtics to me are drops. I would rather get two games out of another player on, you know, a team like the Warriors or the Pacers, then kind of use that roster spot during championship weekend when you need as much value as you can. And especially when you kind of have a funky weekend like this one where every team plays on Sunday. Again, to me, it's tricky, but you just have to kind of choose as best as you can. And obviously we'll be back on Sunday to kind of help you guys talk through some of those decisions and kind of go through some last second injury talks and all that.
Yeah, great call, it's Brian. I think to your point, try to go for a younger player, guys, especially this late in the season, and don't be surprised if superstars rest. So definitely stay up until the last minute before the game starts in case a superstar rests and you can go pick up a a player that wasn't even on your radar, but is going to see huge, huge efficiency and just usage rate with the rotation lineups. I mean, this late into the season, it's expected that teams are going to be meshing up their rosters quite a bit, and you're going to see some guys play that you never thought you would.
Yeah, that's the tough part about fantasy, especially, again, this has been talked about like on the Reddit sub forums and all that, but just, I don't know if this is the best weekend to choose like for your fantasy championship. I definitely think it should end before, well ahead. I'd say probably mid-March is when you want to get it done, even with the play-in incentive that these teams have. I mean, we're still seeing a lot of guys sitting games this late in the stretch, and it just sucks if you have them on your roster. So I definitely I'm a big fan of using like that mid-March end date for your fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know why people elect this week to end it on. It makes no sense to me, but regardless, guys, there's always room for opportunity for you guys to reevaluate your league moving forward.
Exactly. You live and you learn. If you make a big mistake, the best thing is you can always adapt it for next year.
Well said. And then, guys, we're gonna wrap it up with the top transaction drops and ads. So Brian, I'm gonna give you the top 10 transaction drops. We have Danilo Gallinari, Ayu Dosunmu, Kobe White, Alex Caruso, Otto Porter Jr., Markel Fultz, Gary Payton II, Jalen Smith, Josh Hart, and Ivica Zubac. What are your thoughts on some of these guys?
Yeah, so as far as drops, Dan, just a couple guys that stand out. Danilo Gallinari, to me, he makes sense that he's on this list. I don't know how interested Atlanta is going to be in playing him this weekend, especially when the play-in starts on Tuesday and, you know, the Hawks are already locked into it. So just doesn't really benefit them. As far as some of these Bulls players, this trio of Dosunmu, Kobe White, and Caruso, lots of players on that list. They did clinch their playoff spot this week. So to me, they don't really have anything to play for. I'd stay away from all three of them as well this weekend. And then the name I was most surprised to see on this list is probably Jalen Smith, especially with the back-to-back coming up for the Pacers. And he's had some pretty good games this week. It's just a little bit of a surprise to see his name on the list.
Yeah, I'm completely aligned with you. Jalen Smith being on this list makes no sense to me. I mean, great weekend schedule. He's giving you some solid points, I think over 15 and at least like 6 or 7 rebounds per game, a good steal, blocks, and a block. This guy makes a lot of sense to keep on a roster for the time being. So if you can, guys, hold on to him. And the other player that to me was a little bit shocking was Zubac. I mean, he has been kind of a double-double lately. He's gotten you some points. He's gotten you some boards. I know that with Norm Powell coming back and just that lineup kind of preparing for the postseason, it is a little bit riskier, but he hasn't shown you a reason not to trust him yet.
Yeah, and can I just say while we're on that Clippers subject, they are looking really good, guys. I mean, the Clippers are looking really, really good. They're looking like they're a Kawhi Leonard away from being a dark horse contender in this NBA playoffs.
Hey, man, that's what happens when you have a solid coach like Ty Lue. I know that he's definitely proving the Lakers front office wrong for snubbing him from the job. So yeah, props to Lue, props to the Clippers. You know, they're doing their thing.
Yeah, he knows. Ty Lue knows what he's talking about. He's doing a great job over there in LA.
Meanwhile, Vogel's about to be let go, so we'll see. And then, guys, with the top transaction ads, we have the following. We have Davion Mitchell, O'Shea Brissett, Trey Mann, Goga Bitadze, Tyus Jones, Reggie Bullock, Trey Lyles, Rui Hachimura, Drew Eubanks, and lastly, Torrey Craig. Brian, general thoughts on these guys?
Yeah, so Davion Mitchell obviously stands out, coming off a career high in assists, also a Sacramento King rookie record, 17 assists. He's been really, really red hot lately, and obviously with no De'Aaron Fox, no Sabonis, he's gotten time to shine over there, and he's going to be a great ad for this weekend. I think he's clearly the top ad here for sure. I think a lot of folks probably added him already earlier this week. To me, Brissett and Bitadze for the Pacers, obviously we've touched on it, the back-to-back, it does make sense to add him going into the weekend. I'm a little worried about the risk with Bitadze. He's been listed game time designation a lot lately. I know he's kind of played through some of those games, but it's just a concern, especially coming into the last weekend of the year. Reggie Bullock, he's definitely been making a really high volume of threes lately, which has brought up his value to just outside of the top 10, or I'm sorry, outside of the top 100 over the past 2 weeks. He's been heating up at the right time for the Dallas Mavericks, Dan. And then Drew Eubanks, he's been a really popular name on our show, and for good reason. He's just outside of the top 50 over the last month. To me, he's a no-brainer ad, especially going into the last weekend of the month.
Yeah, great call outs, Brian. I think that, to your point, Goga Bitadze is kind of a risk right now. I wouldn't trust him for the time being. I was a little bit shocked that Trey Mann was on this list, considering he's injured. So I don't know what people are doing. Why are you doing this? It makes no sense. The player I want to focus, though, is Tyus Jones. He's been a solid guy when it comes to points and assists. And with John Morant being out in, like, for the next couple games, like, why wouldn't you take a gamble with this guy? He's given you great value when John Morant does sit, and it's looking like that's going to be the case. Go get him. He's going to be a great streamer, in my opinion, for the weekend.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they ruled out Ja for the regular season. So, I mean, if that's the case, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like Tyus Jones should have some pretty good opportunities here going into this weekend. And, I mean, he's played really, really well. Obviously, we all kind of know Memphis's record without Ja Morant has been really impressive, too. So, yeah, no question. Tyus Jones, especially if you need assists, you need steals. I mean, he can obviously even give you points as well. So, Tyus Jones, definitely a great ad going into this weekend.
All right, guys. Well, that about wraps it up for us for the time being. So, again, we will be back on Sunday for a lot of people's championships, just to give them that quick recap. But then, guys, Sunday's episode, we are going to be transitioning to just general NBA discussion. So we're going to recap kind of how we felt about the season, just from an NBA perspective, not necessarily fantasy perspective, how we feel about going into the playoffs, and just, and again, regular general this NBA topics that we're going to start covering moving forward. Again, we are transitioning our schedule, so after this upcoming Sunday, the next episode won't be until Friday, and then the next one would be on Tuesday. We're shifting to a Tuesday Friday format. And guys, I mean, we're still going to be around in case you have any fantasy related questions, in case it pertains to keeper leagues, you know, anything like a dynasty aspect like that. We'll definitely help you guys out with our inputs on it from what we've seen. And if you guys have just general NBA discussion questions, like, we're more than welcome to discuss them and bring them up on the pod. I know Brian and I have several topics we want to cover and just kind of go back and forth on. So if you guys want us to cover anything in particular, hit us up on our socials, whether it be Twitter or Instagram. We'll definitely engage with you guys, and we'll make sure to highlight it. Brian, do you have any other parting thoughts before everyone gets let go for this fantasy weekend?
Just that if you've been enjoying the content as far as fantasy basketball, I would definitely share this with your friends, share this with any, like, you know, colleagues, coworkers, anyone that you know listens to NBA podcasts or is a big fan of NBA basketball. I mean, we are really excited to have a show fully dedicated to it. Obviously, I know we've touched on fantasy basketball since we started, but there's always been that little bit of, you know, NBA talk on the side and stuff like that on Fridays and things like that. So, kind of like Danny touched on, we have a lot of topics that we cannot wait to go through. We're really excited about the NBA playoffs starting off. Obviously, we want to talk about the favorites. We have the play-in tournament. Can't believe the Lakers got eliminated. We have Brooklyn obviously going to be in the play-in, so that's going to be exciting. There's just a lot of really, really good stuff going on in the NBA, and Dan and I are really excited to go through them next week.
Yeah, so again, we'll start those discussions on Sunday. We're just going to kick it right off. We're assuming everyone's done with fantasy at that point. And we'll just keep it going as the season kind of wanes down and we head into the actual NBA playoffs, guys. And until next time, guys, we hope you have a great one. Take it easy.